Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
I just want to give a warm welcome to Ben.
Well, good evening once again. Thanks for having me, as if you had a choice. No, I enjoy being here very much, and I think this is my third time being able to share on Sunday nights, and so I really appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. You know, I was just thinking about it. Missions is quoted there, but you know, we have an international audience with us, too. We've got people from Israel. We've got people from England. Is there anybody else from anywhere else here? Where? Dakota? Is that part of the United States? International, you know, it's just always fun. You don't know who's among you. Join me in a word of prayer as we get back into the Gospel of Mark tonight, chapter 2. Father, thank you so much that you love and care about us as your children, as we were reminded, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we could be called the children of God. And so, Lord, we know it's by adoption, it's by the new birth that we become your children. And so, Lord, we're very thankful. And so, Lord, tonight, as we look at your ministry, when you came in the flesh, Lord, will you give us understanding and that work of your Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 2, as we continue on, as many of you probably already know, there's four Gospels, correct? There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're all kind of taking a different approach to the life and ministry of Jesus. Mark's Gospel is very direct. It's really dealing with the fact that Jesus was a servant. There's not a lot of lengthy teachings from Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, but what's very pointedly pointed out is what he did, his miracles, his ministry, because he indeed came, as Mark's Gospel would portray him, as the servant. That's a remarkable situation when you think about it. The King of Glory left heaven and became a man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God. And so Mark's Gospel is coming from that direction. And you remember, as you've been here on Sunday nights, that in the beginning it goes right into the introduction of Jesus himself by his forerunner. And of course that was prophesied, John the Baptist, there in his ministry. And then of course the baptism, the Spirit came upon Jesus. And that really started his public ministry. He was around 30 odd years of age. And now he starts his public ministry. And that's what we're dealing with here. And then you guys saw that, he went to Capernaum. He kind of made Capernaum. If you have a Bible map, you might want to refer to it. The Sea of Galilee, a beautiful spot. And Jesus kind of made Capernaum his headquarters. A lot of his great miracles were done there. And you can go there today. You can actually be at the synagogue where some of these things took place. It's still there today. And so Jesus is here, and his fame is now spreading because he's going around and he's teaching, but he's performing miracles. Now, that's going to capture anybody's attention, isn't it? What? You've been going to a Bible study? This guy's teaching a Bible study and people are being raised from the dead and the lame are walking, the deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing? And the buzz around the Galilee was, we've never seen this before. In fact, they used to say of Jesus in this area, the news feed was, no man ever spoke like this man. No man ever spoke like this. They haven't seen it. Well, guess what they were dealing with, as you know? It was God in the flesh. It was Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what we want to consider as we go through this gospel together. Starting again at chapter 2, we know at the last portion there, Jesus cured a man. You remember what happened last week? How many of you even remember what happened last week? Well, I'll tell you what happened last week. One person, thank you, Skylar. But the point is that he healed somebody of an incurable disease. Now, I'm sorry, maybe you've been coming to church so long that these things are just, oh yeah, of course he did. That's radical. A cancer victim, an AIDS victim, an incurable disease, you name it. And Jesus shows up and this guy's healed. And it caused such a stir that Jesus could no longer minister in Capernaum. And so he went to other regions and began to minister. And now where we pick it back up is in chapter 2, verse 1. And it says again, Jesus entered Capernaum. So he went away for a period of time. The other gospel, Matthew, gives the same account, as well as Luke's gospel of this very account. And we know that Jesus had come from a region where he came over by boat. And now he's coming back to this place called Capernaum. And as it says here, after many days or some days, they heard that Jesus was in the house. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Jesus is in the house. Guess what? Jesus of Nazareth is here tonight in this house. He's here to do the same things that you see him and you read about him here. He is very present at this very moment to do the exact same things. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so don't let this just be a history lesson or a nice little chat about this historical event. But Jesus was in the house. And Jesus is in this place. And the buzz was so strong, notice as it says here, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. That's a hallelujah happening. That's the Bible studies you want to be a part of, where Jesus is in the house. That's the church you want to attend, where Jesus is in the house. And there's so many people coming now. Because he's dealing with a humanity that's broken. Just like us. Broken humanity. And people are sick and maimed physically, emotionally. But Jesus is in the house. The text messages are buzzing. Jesus is in the house. If we were in the modern day. Make sure you get down to Sunday nights. Jesus is in the house. And the buzz is out there, man, and people are needy. Nothing's changed. And notice as Jesus ministers to them the word. So he's given a Bible study. He's preaching it to them. And as this is going on, an unusual thing happens at this Bible study. They came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And so, when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Can you imagine the scene? Here we are. Use your imagination. Jesus is given the Bible study. And all of a sudden, tiles start falling in the room. And you realize the crowds are here, but the roof's coming apart. And you've got these four men who, by the way, these are the kind of friends you want. Maybe you feel paralyzed. Maybe you know someone who's paralyzed physically, maybe even emotionally. You bring them to Jesus. And you do anything you can to get them to Jesus. These men were real friends. A true friend does that for you. Brings you to Jesus, whether through prayer, bring you to church. And Jesus is there and he's ministering and the roof starts coming apart. And I'm sure people are wondering, what's going on here? And all of a sudden you see this paralytic man on a bed, sort of maybe a cot. I envisioned it, four posts or four things, and each has a rope attached to it. And all of a sudden, drops this guy on a bed. And his mates were so you know, determined, because they had faith, as you're going to see, in Jesus. They knew, they had heard, and they thought, can you believe what's going on down the road? We got to get our mate down there. We got to get him in there. He can't get in there, but we're going to get him in there. And man, they had to get it like this. Now, you know, the Middle Eastern sort of architecture, if you can imagine, you know, a lot of flat roofs, some maybe thatched roofs. And typically there was a staircase, you know, something very simple that just went straight up and you could get on top of the roof. And that was the only place these guys could find. But they found the way to get their friend to Jesus. And so here he is, he's laid before him, verse 5. But when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, I don't know about you, but I find a little bit of humor in that. A little bit strange humor, but can you imagine his friends? Sins forgiven. We brought him here to get healed. Sins forgiven? Maybe even the paralytic man was sitting there thinking, my friends told me they were bringing me here so I can get healed. Sins forgiven. Now, it is interesting, in the historical events of the Jewish mindset was, and rightfully so, they realized that sin in the human condition brings about all kinds of maladies, brings about death ultimately. And so it could have been, in their thinking, wait a minute, this guy can't get his sinful condition maybe is correlated to his stricken condition. And Jesus handles this. I didn't finish the thing I should have finished it through, but let's look at it again. Son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there. Who were the scribes? They were your experts in all things scripture. They were your Bible college professors. They were your seminary graduates. They were your Bible students. And they knew the scriptures. And they were sitting there and they were thinking into their hearts, why does this man blaspheme like this? How can forgive sins but God alone? Now, they were good Bible students because they had a point there, didn't they? And I don't chide them at all. They had enough sense about them to know, this mere man says he can forgive sins. Who does he think he is? God? Only God can forgive sins. They were right. Only God can forgive sins. And so Jesus, master of all situations, immediately when Jesus perceived, verse 9, in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or arise, take up your bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and walk. Well, there was a Bible lesson for them, for sure. Again, relating the sinful condition to this man's condition. In order for the physical maladies of any body, perhaps, you know, you start with the sins. After all, that's why he's in this condition. Now, of course, a couple of things about this sickness I'd like to point out to you. Not all sickness is related to sin. I hope you know that. There's a lot of really bad teaching out there that would equate, and we see it in other places of the gospel, that would equate somebody's malady, physical disease, being associated to a certain sin that they perhaps committed. And sometimes it is. There was a particular incident where it looked like that was the case. Perhaps the man at the pool of Bethesda. That's another study. Nonetheless, there's another thing about this sickness that I'd like to point out to you. There's a teaching out there that if you had enough faith, you would be healed. Well, there is some truth to that. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is always necessary for any activity of God. That's for sure. But it's a cruel doctrine, it's a cruel teaching to tell somebody who's sick, dying perhaps, that if you just had enough faith, you would be healed. Because this text right here says Jesus healed this man not because of his faith, but because of his friend's faith. And I find that very interesting. Somebody else can have faith for you. Maybe you don't have the faith. Faith nonetheless. And then another thing. This is a great deity verse. Do you understand what I mean by deity verse? How many of you know what a deity means? Okay. Some of you already know, but you just don't want to raise your hand. I get it. Deity means that he was God. And this is a great text because, again, only God can forgive sins, right? This is a great one. I shared it with some Mormons. You know, because this is a great deity verse. If Jesus wasn't God, he couldn't forgive sins. But if he was God, he could forgive sins. So what is easier to say? Something invisible? Hey, man, your sins are forgiven you. How do we know? It's invisible. I can't tell this guy's sins are forgiven him. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I'm God. I'm going to show you. Arise, take up your bed and walk. It validated who he was. Because again, only God can forgive sins. It's a great deity verse. It's a great deity little section there. And everybody understood that. Whether they really understood it, that's a whole other thing, right? But they were amazed. Forgiven sins. Now, you know, a little comical kind of thoughts. You know, can you imagine, you know, this poor guy, his roof's been undone, and perhaps, you know, he's thinking about, you know, how we're going to get the roof fixed. And but this lame guy, he actually got lifted up out of his bed, praise God, you know. And, you know, a formidable miracle happened here because Jesus was in the house. And it showed exactly who he was. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the true and the living God, who is able not only to forgive sins. There's only two places in the whole Gospels that he actually said, your sins be forgiven you. Now, you might have one of those theological kind of thinking minds, and you might ask yourself the question, how did Jesus forgive sins before he died on the cross? I thought that's where our sins got forgiven. Good question, or a good thought, let's put it that way. Well, you have to remember salvation, gift, forgiveness of sins wasn't unique to the time after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. King David responded to the blessedness of being forgiven. It was always by faith. Faith in Jesus prior to him coming, and then now faith afterwards. So Jesus is on the scene. He's God. He forgives sins based on the faith, based on his sovereignty as well. So there's nothing really new to that, but maybe you had that thought. Like the scribes, you're reasoning in your heart. How are these things so? But this is a formidable miracle for sure. And something worthy of our attention. Jesus was God. I'm sorry, Mr. Jehovah's Witness. I'm sorry, Mr. Mormon, or any other Christian cult that... See, all the Christian cults say is just strip Jesus of his deity. Because if he's not God, only God can forgive sins. So you don't have forgiveness of sins. And Paul the Apostle, and rightfully so, says, even if Jesus, if he didn't even raise from the dead, then you're still dead in your trespasses and your sins. He had to be God, but then... he had to raise from the dead, too. There's all these factors involved. For instance, this idea, I'm talking about the deity of Christ, okay? These are complicated things. Great is the mystery of godliness that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Emmanuel, God with us, okay? It goes on and on. But I'm from Huntington Beach. I was born and raised here. And at one time I lived in England, and this is my first time. This is prior to 9/11, by the way. And I was just a beach boy here, you know. I never met any Muslims. I never probably even knew, heard the word Muslim. And I lived in London, and I was out there. We were doing some street evangelism. And, of course, you know, anything from their former empire, they're all there. And so half the Middle East is there. And, you know, these guys, and we were engaged in conversations with them, and they said something to me that I thought, wow, you know, good question or good thought. And, again, it's based on this idea of Jesus being deity. And he said, to the Muslim mind, Jesus can't be God because God died. God can't die. Well, he's right. God can't die. It's impossible for God to die. So what's the answer, Mr. Christian? Well, again, it's that by nature of Jesus, right? He had that humanity side of him, the body that was prepared to die. See, God can't die. God's spirit. He needed to have a body. That was one of the reasons why he had to have a body. Because a body can bleed and a body can die. And so it's in humanity he died. But in his deity, he never died. God can't die. So great is the mystery of godliness, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. This is one of those situations. Jesus is God. He can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto you, rise, take up your bed and walk. It validated who he was. Jesus, the God-man. If he's not God, ladies and gentlemen, right? If Jesus isn't God, it's all a scam. But if Jesus is God, it's everything. And that's why we contend for these things. In fact, Paul the Apostle in the book of Galatians, he says, if anyone else comes to you preaching another gospel, let him be cursed. If Jesus isn't God in the flesh, that he died for your sins, he was raised again, buried and raised again, and if anybody else teaches you anything else, it's a false gospel. It's not worthy of your attention. Because if Jesus isn't God, there's no forgiveness of sins. But he is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. And so, immediately, he arose, verse 12. He took up his bed, and he went out of the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I pray to God, and I believe it's here. I believe Jesus is here right now. And I don't have time to play church. I don't have time to play Bible study. I hope you don't either. I think it's really good that you come here. But I want to take 10 minutes, and I want to call on Jesus who's in this house right now. And I'm here to pray for anybody, but what I'm going to ask and suggest you to do is I'm going to suggest you turn to each other. And if you're a born-again child of God, you have access right to the throne of Jesus. And Jesus of Nazareth lives in you. You're his kid. And so maybe you have a paralyzed part of your life. I don't know what it is. We all have situations, don't we? Bring that to Jesus. Maybe it's a physical malady. Maybe it's a mental malady. Bring it to Jesus. He can heal it. That's what he came to do. He came to reverse the curse. Every single thing that he does, he reverses the curse. Because he's God, he's life. He reverses the curse, and we've all been cursed. Some curse more than others, right? But we're all living with these realities. And Jesus is here tonight, and I want to take advantage of him. He came for this very purpose. And so let's take just a bit of time. I'm not sure what time it is. I see 23 past there. Is that, are we still okay? Can you guys join with me? Are you with me? How many of you realize Jesus is really here? Okay, all four of you. So that's really good, you know. That's a start. He is here. But please, this is the body of Christ. This is the family of God. Maybe you don't feel like you can pray for somebody, but maybe you could ask somebody to pray for you. Whatever you do, I don't want anybody leaving here with the same malady that they came in with the same burden they came in with. week after week, year after year. And it's a great time to have a cup of coffee and a little bit of a chat and a little pat on the back. And, you know, God bless us for and no more. Let's don't do that. Let's take advantage of Jesus of Nazareth right here, right now, tonight. So do that, would you? I'm here as well. I'll pray for anybody that wants to come up. But if you could just turn to somebody, at least one person, please share whatever you want. A burden you came in with, a need you have, and bring it to Jesus of Nazareth in prayer. Okay? So let's spend the next 10 minutes and just do that together, okay?
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life